If you now turn in God's word to the 31st Psalm, Psalm 31, verses 1, 6, 14 and 19 particularly, bring out what we're going to look at this morning. And if you can't guess what it is from the prayers and the hymns and the reading, I'll be very surprised. So Psalm 31, verse 1. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock, for in a house of defence to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me, for thou art my strength. Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. I have hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities, and hast not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large room. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly, for my life is spent with grief, and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity, and my bones are consumed. I was a reproach among mine enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and a fear to mine acquaintance. They that did see me without fled from me. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel. For I've heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side, while they took counsel together against me. They devised to take away my life. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed, and let them be silent in the grave. Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he hath showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee. O love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. Well, may God bless to our hearts that reading from his word. We're looking on Sunday mornings at what some of our responses ought to be to Almighty God. We saw, first of all, that we need to love God, and to love God with all our heart and all our soul and all our mind and all our strength, which really means loving God more than anyone or anything else. It's not that we're not to love other people, we're not to love the good things that God gives us to enjoy, but nothing and nobody should really be loved more than Almighty God himself. Then we saw that we need to know God, for to know God is eternal life. knowing God, having fellowship with God, having a personal relationship with God for time and eternity. That is eternal, everlasting life. And it only comes through faith in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we saw that we ought to obey God. He is our maker and our creator. He has the authority, the power, the right to command us, and we have the responsibility to obey him, to do what he requires us to do. But sadly, grievously, none of us have perfectly done that, because God tells us we have all sinned and come short of his glory. And if we say that's not the case, we're simply deceiving ourselves. And the only way we can be forgiven that disobedience is by faith in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But then as God's children, through faith in Christ Jesus, we're not under his law, under his commands as a means of salvation. We're not under the condemning power of God's law because we've broken it, but we still are under the commanding power of God's law. We should, of all people, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, God's children, through faith in the Lord Jesus, want to obey him in our lives day by day. Now, I'd like us to see this morning that we should trust God. Trusting God is never going to happen in a person's life before they trust God in the Lord Jesus Christ to save them a sinner. You see, you may believe this morning that Jesus is God the Son. I hope you do, because he is. That's what the Word of God declares. And you may believe, and I hope you do, that God's Son took human flesh. He was born there in Bethlehem all those years ago. And you may believe, and I certainly hope you do, that when God's Son was here in human flesh, unlike all of us, he perfectly obeyed God. In him was no sin at all. He knew no sin. And I hope you believe, as the Word of God tells us, that when the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, he went there voluntarily and willingly, and he went there to suffer for sin, to be wounded for the transgression, bruised for the iniquities that he was not guilty of, but that we are guilty of. So that on faith in him, we can be forgiven those sins. And I hope you believe, because he did, he bodily rose again from the dead, just as he said he would, demonstrating he was indeed God the Son, and he had made satisfaction for sin, and in him is forgiveness of sin. I hope you believe, because he did, and the Word of God testifies to it. He ascended back into heaven. He returned to glory. And I hope you believe, because the Word of God makes it very clear, and Jesus spoke of it often, that he's going to come again in power and in great glory and carry out the judgment of all mankind. So he's going to judge each one of us personally. So you believe that you're a sinner against Almighty God, and the Lord Jesus Christ is the only Savior to sinners, the only one in whom you can be forgiven. But you know, you can believe all of that and still be totally unforgiven your sins, still be at enmity with Almighty God, and still justly face the righteous eternal punishment of God. I say that because saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ isn't simply in believing, giving assent to all the Bible says about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's believing in those things, but then trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart to save you a sinner. God's great command is, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And the Greek word that's translated believe there, quite correctly, but it could be translated to trust in, or to rely upon, or to lean upon someone or something. And saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, which will result in you being forgiven all your sins against God, result in you being at peace with God and being a child of God, and ultimately bound for God's heaven, is trusting in, believing upon, relying upon, leaning upon the Lord Jesus Christ alone to save you, a sinner. It's entrusting yourself personally to the Lord Jesus Christ. Saving faith in Christ is a heartfelt, personal trust in the Lord Jesus to save you, a sinner. And without that, no matter that you may know the scriptures, you may say, I believe what they say, you're still a lost soul. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. It's not believe all the Bible tells you about the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. Because many people have been brought up in Christian homes. Many people have attended churches for years. And by and large, they believe what the Bible teaches. But never, ever trust in the Lord Jesus Christ to save them, a sinner, and remain a lost soul without God and without hope. It's not optional whether or not you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ to save you, a sinner. It's a command of Almighty God. It's one of those wonderful commands and promises that combine at the same time. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Trust in the Lord Jesus and you'll be saved. What a good command it is. Because if we don't obey it, we remain unforgiven our sins against God and we remain apart from God. It's also an act of exceeding sinfulness to not trust in the Lord Jesus Christ to save you, a sinner. When you think about it, when you consider just for a moment, you've never begun to love God as you should. You've disobeyed God on innumerable occasions, day by day, throughout your life. And yet the God you've sinned against, the God you've disobeyed, the God you haven't loved, sent his Son into the world to die on the cross, to suffer for sin, to save and help helpless, hopeless sinners like we are. And what an act of ingratitude and sinfulness before God to then not trust in the Son he sent to be a savior of sinner. But having trusted in Christ to save you, a sinner, as a child of God now through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have every reason to, and indeed are commanded by God to trust in him. And it's a grievous thing that so often someone who has trusted in Christ to save them, a sinner, then at different times in their lives doesn't trust in God. If you've trusted God in the Lord Jesus Christ to save you, a sinner, when you think about it, it's totally illogical not to, after that time, trust in God every moment, every day, no matter what comes, no matter what happens to you. Because if God has done the hardest thing that needs to be done for you, which is to save you, a sinner, through trusting in Christ, who he sent to be a savior, do you really imagine that after God has done all of that for you, and now you're his child through trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, God can't help you with the things that come along in life? God doesn't overrule the things that come along in life for your good. He doesn't use them in the way that is blessed, be blessed to you for your spiritual benefit. It's almost illogical, you know, to trust in Christ to save you, a sinner, and then as a Christian, at various times in our lives, to not be trusting in God as we should. We do ourselves as Christians an enormous disservice when we don't trust in God. Why do I say that? Because time and again in the Bible, God tells us those who trust in him, his children, will be wonderfully blessed by him. He says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Then it says in Psalm 40, blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust. Or Psalm 84, O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. Or in Jeremiah's prophecy in chapter 17, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. So God makes it very, very clear, abundantly clear, that when his children trust in him, they are wonderfully blessed by him. God also tells us that his children, through faith in Christ, in Psalm 62, that we are to trust in him at all times. In other words, at every time in our life, God should have our trust and our confidence. No matter what we're going through or what we're experiencing at that time. You see, it says trust in him at all times. That little word, all times. There's no exclusions. It doesn't say trust in him when you're well, but don't do so when you're sick. Trust in him when all's going at work and you've got a decent job, but you don't have to trust him when you're unemployed. Trust in him when everything's going right in the family, but don't trust in him when it's not. He says, trust in him at all times. And why would God say that? Because he's the God he is. You see, if we as a Christian are not trusting in him, we're acting as if God isn't the God he is. If God is a loving God, which he is, if God is a good God, which he is, if God is an all-wise God, which he is, if God is a God who cares for his children, which he is, if God is a God who does all things well, which he does, if God is a God, and he is because he tells us, who works all things together for the good of those who love him, who are called according to his purpose, to conform them to the image of his Son, to make them more like the Lord Jesus Christ. If those things are true, we should trust in God at all times. And when you think about it, as a child of God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, when we don't trust in him, we're acting as if he isn't a loving God, or he isn't a good God, or he isn't a wise God, or he doesn't care for us, or he's not doing things well, or he isn't working everything together for our good. That little word, all, is so important. It's so easy for us as Christians to trust in God when everything is going reasonably well. Everything is going right in our life. But that word all means we need to trust in God even when things are not going well. I say this twice because it's very important. All believers in Christ at all times should put all their trust in God. All believers in Christ at all times should put all their trust in God. Why, God tells us in Isaiah chapter 50, who is among you that feareth the Lord and that obeyeth the voice of his servant? Godly people that walk in darkness and hath no light, going through dark, difficult, testing times. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. It's clearly speaking of people who are living lives that God approves of, pleases God. They fear God and obey him. Yet it speaks of them walking through darkness, going through very difficult times and trials and afflictions. You see, the idea in view that if you live a life pleasing to God and you have great faith in God, then you'll be healthy and wealthy and have no trials, couldn't be farther from the truth. That sort of doctrine is totally shown to be heresy by that one verse. There are many, many others, but by that one verse. It's talking here about those who fear and obey God, those who God is pleased with, those who are walking in his way. And it speaks of them walking in darkness. going through difficulties and trials and troubles and problems. You see, the godly soul who's pleasing God may still find themselves experiencing very dark times in their life through different causes. And then they're told what they're to do. What is a godly soul to do when they go through difficult, dark times? Trust in and stay upon, that is, lean upon Almighty God. Notice it doesn't say, wait till the time of darkness and trial and difficulty and affliction, whatever the cause, is over, but to trust in God when you're in it, when you're walking in darkness, when you're going through the afflictions, when you're going through the trials. In other words, remind yourself that my God, my Savior, is a loving, good, wise, caring God who does all things well, who works all things together for my good. So no matter how dark this time is, I'm going to continue to trust in him. The God who we trust in the darkness, no matter the cause, will keep you in it as a Christian, will use it for your spiritual good, and will bring it to an end when he sees fit, when is best. You see, we should trust in God as Christians, because God tells us he is our help and our shield. In Psalm 115, it says, O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and shield. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. Help and shield speaks of the help and protection of Almighty God. And seeing that's the case, how we shouldn't trust in God for help and protection as his people. We have every reason to trust in God if he tells us he's our help and our shield. He says a very similar thing, but different words in Psalm 7. O the Lord my God, in thee do I put my trust. My defense is of God. You see, the reality is, as God's children through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we should trust in God whatever he sees fit to do with us or to allow in our lives as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. I read to you from Psalm 31. There's a very famous bit there. It says, my times are in thy hand. But sometimes people forget what it says before. I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hands. In other words, life's joys and sorrows, hopes and disappointments, they're not the result of fate. They're not the result of blind chance. They are all in the hands of Almighty God. And what the psalmist is recognizing there is this. Everything that happens to me as a child of God is in the hands of my God. And I'm going to trust in him no matter what. No matter what comes, no matter how bad it may seem, no matter how hard and difficult, I am going to trust in him. Why the psalmist doesn't just say that the Lord is our help and shield. We're told in the Psalms, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. God is a refuge from trouble, and God's a fortress in trouble. And it's very interesting, you know, the very middle verse of the whole Bible. You go home and you count the verses up and divide them by two. I'll save you some time. You'll come to Psalm 118 and verse 8. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. So many people down through history put confidence in other people, trust in other people. Some trust in politicians. Some trust in psychics. Some trust in various organizations. Some trust in friends. Some trust in family members. Some trust in work colleagues. And they often find out that trust was misplaced. And that's not surprising, because they're not God. And there's a massive difference between them and God. God warrants and deserves our trust because of the way he is. But it's very hard to trust in anyone because of the way they are. What do I mean? Well, everyone is sinful. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But God is holy. Everyone, every person has a limited knowledge, but not God. He is all-knowing. Every person can be mistaken, but not God. He is all-wise. Every person can be changeable, but not God. He is unchanging. God warrants and deserves our trust, yet sometimes he doesn't receive it. But people who don't warrant and deserve our trust, they go and get it. How ironic that is when you think about it. God deserves to and should be trusted by all those who have trusted God in Christ to save them a sinner. God, through his prophet Nahum, tells us, "The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble." He's a good God, unchangeably good, perfectly good, always good, who works all things out together for the good of all those saved by his grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, to make them more and more like their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is a stronghold. We've seen he's a fortress. The psalmist tells us he's our refuge and strength, a very present help in times of trouble. There are so many reasons why, if you're a professing Christian this morning, you should trust in God at all times. Now, sadly, that isn't always the case. And particularly maybe when we're going through dark times, whatever the cause in our life. And Christians then can have all sorts of fears, all sorts of anxieties, get really low, get cast down, and so it could go on and on. Because they're the sort of consequences, the results of not really trusting in God. And while it says in Nahum, God is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, it all says this: he knoweth them that trust in him. You see, he knows all those who have really trusted in Christ to save them a sinner. And he knows those who are his children through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, which you may profess to be, when you are and are not trusting in him. He has told us, and we most definitely should, trust in him at all times. But God knows when we're not. Sadly, when we walk in darkness, when we go through trials and sorrows and afflictions, difficult times, God knows only too well that we can be awfully guilty as God's children of not really trusting in him. And we have to really pray, "Lord, increase my faith, that I would trust in you as you deserve to be trusted, as you should be trusted, as you tell me you should be trusted, because everything about you is worthy of my implicit trust." This isn't something you can hide from God. He knows those who are his, it says in the New Testament. He knows all those who are his children through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He knows everyone who has truly, genuinely trusted in Christ with all their heart to save them a sinner. Or if you're still continuing to turn your back on his son who he sent to be a savior of sinners. Then day by day, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, in happy days and sad days, in pleasant and unpleasant days, God knows moment by moment whether you, his child, are trusting him or not. No matter what's going on, and how displeasing it must be to him. How grievous when you think about it, when God knows at that time, in that circumstance, in that situation, your trust in him is almost non-existent. As if he isn't a loving God, a good God, a wise God, who cares for you, who does all things well, who works everything together for your good. Listen to some of these verses. Psalm 5 says, "Let all who put trust in thee rejoice." It's a source of joy for us as Christians when we trust in God. In Psalm 32, "He that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about." As we trust in God, we find God being so merciful to us. Psalm 125, "They that trust in the Lord shall be like Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever." Those who trust in the Lord are preserved and protected by Almighty God. Book of Proverbs, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding." Trust in God results in God guiding us in the way that we should go. Isaiah 26, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon thee, because he trusteth in thee." We enjoy the wonderful peace of Almighty God as we trust in him. So you see, in the light of all I've said this morning, you most definitely, individually, need to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ to save your sinner. And as somebody that professes to have done so, to be a child of God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you should trust in God at all times. If God has undeservedly saved you at such a cost, when you were a guilty, lost sinner, bound for a lost eternity, separated and cut off from him, do not think, now as his child, he can't help you with and deal with you and uphold you and care for you in all the changing scenes of life that you go through. So in the light of all of this, let's say if we've trusted in Christ to save us a sinner, what the psalmist says, "O Lord my God, in thee do I put my trust." And let's remember, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord knoweth them that trust in him. He knows when you're trusting him and when you aren't.